It was so much sooner than the disciples would have expected. The disciples had seen so much. They had learned so much since they had begun following Jesus just a brief while before. And even though it had only been a brief while, the disciples could see that Jesus was like no one else they had ever known, that he was like no one else in the whole world. Even though it had only been for a brief while, the disciples could see that Jesus was turning the whole world upside down. You see, the disciples had grown up in a world that had a social order. That's no surprise. There is a social order today. There was a social order then. In the disciples' time, the social order was that social rank was considered to be the same as the favor of God. If I had money and power and health, these things were thought to be gifts straight from God, proof positive that God must have loved me more than you. But the opposite was true, too. For those who were different, for those who were unlucky, for those who were unhealthy, their suffering, their misfortune, they were thought to be due to the judgment of God against them. Proof positive that God had something against them too. And so people lived in fear of the smallest illness, the smallest misfortune. They lived in fear of being forsaken by their community, of becoming double cursed, where even a minor illness, a minor injury, could result in their being shunned, pushed mercilessly and irrevocably to the gutters, to the streets, there to serve as a cautionary tale of what happens if you don't stay on God's good side. This was the social order that the disciples knew. But then came this man, Jesus. This man of God. But the disciples could see that Jesus would always care so much for the sick. He would always care so much for those who didn't quite fit in. He always cared so much for the downtrodden. And he seems to have little but rebuke to offer the powerful and the comfortable. It was upside down the way this man of God lived. It was as if in the eyes of Jesus, the world was upside down. Jesus would pick up forsaken people and restore them to dignity and restore them to community, to parents and siblings and friends, parents and siblings and friends who saw for the first time, perhaps, that the judgment of God was not upon the sick and the suffering, but the judgment of God was upon those strong ones who would heap suffering upon the suffering. Upside down. The disciples followed Jesus because he was like no one else in the world, like no one they had ever met. And the disciples followed not wanting to miss a single marvelous word that he spoke. They followed because they didn't want to let him out of their sight for 1 minute, lest they would somehow miss one of the inexplicable wonders that Jesus would do. You see, Jesus was turning the world upside down, and the disciples wanted to watch him do it. It was so much sooner than the disciples would have expected when their lives changed. Jesus, just a brief while after they had begun to follow him, Jesus took the disciples aside, off by themselves. And Jesus said to them, "You all, you 12, you are now going to go and do all of these same things that I have been doing. You will be the one performing wonders. You will be the ones restoring the forsaken to dignity. You will be the ones to declare that God has good news to share. You will be the ones to turn the world upside down. So go." I wonder if the disciples didn't ask, "How? How are we to do this? We don't even understand how you do these things, Jesus, and how are we now to turn around and do them?" But Jesus wasn't done yet. He said, "Wait, don't, while you're at it, don't bother taking anything with you. Leave your money behind. Leave any signs of rank or wealth. Leave all that behind. Nothing that you own will help you. Nothing that you have known before will help you. There is no way to teach what it means to encounter another. You have nothing, which is everything that you need. You have a world that is hurting and in need. You have faith. You have one another. You have everything that you need." And so Jesus sent them. And in just a few short words, the story is told by the gospel according to Mark. And it says, "So the disciples went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them." Just a few short words. It was just a few short words, and just like that, the good news was no longer about the amazing things that Jesus could do that no one else in the world could do. Just like that, the good news was no longer about what one man could do, but about what anyone could do who had faith. The good news was about what God was doing in the world. You see, the disciples had begun to follow Jesus because they wanted to know what amazing things he was going to do. But Jesus had not called them to watch. He did not need spectators. Jesus had called them to show them what amazing things they would do. Jesus called them to turn the world upside down. It was so much sooner than the disciples would have expected. When the ministry of Jesus became their own, when the work of spreading the good news became their own, it was so much sooner than they would have expected. When they were called to do something they didn't know they were capable of doing. But then again, it always seems too soon to be called to do something you never knew you were capable of doing. Today, we are celebrating the rite of confirmation, which is the act of the church whereby people who have grown up in the church become full and equal members of the church, responsible for the mission of the church as any are, responsible for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ as much as any in the world is. Confirmation is the act of the church whereby Audrey and Elizabeth and Graciela will take up the mantle of the work of the church as your own. Today is when you begin fully to have the call of God to shape your own spirit into who God dreams you would be, the call to shape the world into how God dreams it might be, when those are your tasks to do. You three now stand on the same footing as any of the greatest saints of the Christian church as any of the disciples of Jesus. For to call yourself a Christian is to be a disciple of Jesus, as were the 12 disciples. And you have everything they had. You have everything that you need to do these things. You have a hurting world in need. And you have faith. And you have one another. Now, I will not try to tell you what it is that you should do in the world. I will not try to tell you what wrongs you should right, what fights will be yours to fight. I will not tell you what these things are, because God's calling is for you to know. God has given you what you need to know it. God has given you a conscience. You know the stories of the Bible. The Holy Spirit yet still speaks in the world to the faithful. So you do not need for me to tell you how to live your lives. You have everything that you need. And the world has need of you. The world has need of faithful Christians. God has need of faithful Christians. Today, that work is yours to do, else no one's. The world is yours to change, or else no one's. If it seems too soon to be tasked with all that, if it seems too soon, take heart. It always seems too soon to do those things that you never knew you were capable of doing.